Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, being an historian, I will commence with a point about history. In 1860, religious arrests broke out in Mount Lebanon, pitting Christians against Druze, leading to violent attacks on the city's Christian quarters of Damascus. As soon as he was informed, an illustrious emir, the Emir Abdul Qadir al-Jazairi, descendant of the Prophet, والسلام, scholar and leader, who fought French colonialism for decades, prince among saints and saint among princes, mobilized his Maghrebis, the inhabitants of North Africa who had joined him during his exile and followed him when he settled in Damascus. He instructed them to protect the city's Christian, men, women, children, elderly, religious, priests, abbesses, at the risk of their lives. Alone and unarmed, he confronted the leader of the attacks, and at the end, 12,000 lives were saved thanks to an act of bravery that should inspire many heads of states today, and that was unanimously praised by the major power of the time, all visibly astonished, and also by the Imam Shamel of Daghestan. Here is what one survivor had to say. In this waiting for death, in these moments of an indescribable anguish, heaven sent us a savior. Emir Abdul Qadir appeared, surrounded by the Algerians and about 40 of them. He was on horseback. His handsome, calm, and imposing figure contrasted strangely with the noise and the disorder everywhere. When he was asked about his actions in favor of Christian, the illustrious descendant of the Prophet replied, "Whatever good we did for Christians, we had to do out of loyalty to Muslim law and to respect the right of humanity. For all creatures are God's family, and God's most beloved are those who are most useful to his family. All the religions brought by the prophets, from Adam to Muhammad, are based on two principles, the exaltation of God Almighty and compassion for his creatures. Already, as Emir al-Mu'minin of Algeria, he and the members of his family has distinguished themselves by the treatment of religious minorities, and under his leadership, the Algerian state included senior Jewish and Christian officials and consuls. The legal administrative system he instituted was totally inspired by Quranic law and the son of the Prophet, right down to the main unit of currency, which he called the Muhammadiyah. One of his main works, the Book of Hearts, begins with the words, "You have, in the envoy of God, an excellent example." The French officer Saint-Hippolyte even described the Emir as a most remarkable man. He is in a moral situation unknown to civilized Europe. He is a being detached from the things of the world, who believes himself to be inspired, and to whom God has given the mission of protecting his correligionists. His ambition is not to conquer. Glory is not the motive for his actions. Personal interest does not guide him. Love of riches is unknown to him. On the subject of this closeness between Christians and Muslims and this principle of respect for others, based on the love rather than tolerance, the Emir declared in 1850, "If Muslims and Christians had wanted to pay attention to me, I would have put an end to their quarrels. They would have become outwardly and inwardly brothers." It's time to understand and hear the call of the Emir Abdul Qadir. The exemplary life of this emir, a man of the modern era, who knew how to pour into the values of tradition, resonates within us as a call to return to the shared value conferred by our respective religions. The first of which is rahma, compassion, pietas. Without this foundation, dogma, doctrine and morality are just empty words. We have seen how Wahhabism and brotherism, I'm talking about Muslim Brotherhood, not Muslim nor brother, have claimed to become Islam, even daring to usurp the term Salaf. How Hindu fundamentalism has betrayed the very essence of this old tradition. How Zionism has usurped the identity of Judaism and tainted it with its daily crimes and abomination that we see in Gaza. Finally, we see how, to quote Immanuel Todd, post-Protestantism or zombie Protestantism is at the heart of Western narcissism, atheistic, nihilistic, materialistic and suicidal, which is dragging Christianity and the rule of the West into an inescapable collapse. All this invites us to reflect on the notion of a holy empire. How can we restore a traditional empire in a multipolar world? The hallmark of the empire is its ability to unite. Under a single law, in a spirit of equality and respect for diversity, ethnic groups, languages and religions that are as diverse as the territories they inhabit. To answer this question, we must never lose sight of our values and never give in to the call of all contingencies. It is this fraternity, defended and illustrated by the illustrious Emir in each of his acts, which represents the foundation of the union from above. Union by the spirits, union by the values. I'm concluding. In the diversity of regular religious forms, which are recognized, respected, and protected. It is in opposition to the union from below, founded on materialism, mercantilism, radical liberalism, nihilism, and what we call the monotheism of money. This is why union from above cannot be based on the same tools created by the materialistic world, which condemns the theft of a loaf of bread by a pauper, but not usury. Really, conclusion. A legitimate empire cannot use the same tools as the pseudo-empire of chaos that it wants to replace. Well, we need to question its entire institutional arsenal, the question of money lending, of usury, of banks, debt, hyper-productivity, as well as growth or degrowth, eugenics, biotechnology, and transhumanism, all of which are based on the premise that life on Earth is here to stay. If useful, if not useful, euthanasia. Hence the famous expression by Al-Ghazali, who regretted that even the grave diggers who buried the corpse did not believe that they will die one day. Life on Earth is a passage. And for the traditional woman and man, it's a question of fulfilling with duties toward God and humanity. Only an intellectual and spiritual union will enable the understanding between people from above to take place. Neither national nor international, but supranational. It can only be established by a spiritual elite, who are the depositories of the sacred knowledge transmitted by the legitimate traditions. The population, thanks to the blessing of religion, conferring the holy faith, will once become the conscious support of this submission to the divine will. What is happening in Russia with the revival of the Orthodox tradition in all social circles and the decision of taking up the defense of sacred values encouraged us to hope that once again this nation is destined to form a holy alliance.
Aaron, please. We have other people to say.
Perfect. So this is the call to which we all have to respond by putting aside our pride, our ego, and the misinterpretation of identity issues. Thank you so much.